Your heart beats faster and faster.
Having been buried in the churchyard, the ghost rides forth to the scene of battle in nightly quest of his head. That's from The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, guys. Washington Irving, and this is the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, that's right, Paranormal Broadcasting, where we have a secret and we're not going to tell you. No, we'll tell them everything we got.
We'll give you everything we got, guys. Hey, gang, we are back live in studio, fresh off the road, still smell like BO, and we'll be in the GD chat room all night long.
And I'm glad I'm not in the same studio as you, Sean. But you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is the Ghostman, Sean B.
That would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is the Sunday broadcast, Sunday, March 29th broadcast of the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris, and it's broadcast live on Omnisound, Absurd Radio, KarmaCast Radio, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal, the Black Vault Radio Network, and the Para X Radio Network.
I hit that button. I hit it on accident. All right, guys, sure. Tonight's guest, host of Stirring the Cauldron radio show and author of a series of Ghost of Hollywood books, Marla Brooks jumps in the studio to talk witches, magic, ghost, and much, much more tonight only on the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Well, okay, Sean, here we go. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original
Bad Boys of
Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes. You know, I gotta say, Sean, this show has made me ambidextrous, because I have so many buttons to push at the same time now.
The buttons.
I kind of look like the Phantom of the Opera with my hands on like two different organs playing. And
get your half-face mask on.
Well, I wear that anytime I'm in public anyway.
Right.
No reason to scare little children.
Did you have what a weekend, man. What a weekend. I just got back in studio. I mean, I just got off the road, and it's crazy. Well, we'll talk about what we did later at the thing. But first off, I wanted to thank all our listeners around the world and the United States of America for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Sean, since you thanked all our guests around the world, as you know, there's just a few too many for me to thank our guests in the U.S. I told them if they join our forum and give us a shout-out, I will thank those guests. But we do want to thank a American guest this week who sent us a letter saying, just had to tell you that I love your show. Sean, you are a hoot. How come you're a hoot, Sean, and I'm not? Anyway, listening to your podcast makes my day at work a little bit more bearable. It is one of the more interesting programs out there. Keep up the good work. Love you guys. And that's from Debbie in northeastern PA.
And, well, we love you too, Debbie, out there in PA, man. That's Gettysburg territory.
That is. You know, you gotta love our Gettysburg listeners and our North PA listeners and all our USA listeners. But our international listeners this week, Sean, let's thank our biggest hits this week were in Wellesley. I hope I'm saying it right. Wellesley, UK. Mm-hmm. They were big hits on our counter this week, and also Perth, Australia, and we have a new listener in Adelaide, Australia. So. Thank you to our international listeners. Thank you to our national listeners. And Sean, do you want to go straight into the tip of the week?
Oh, yeah, I guess we could. Let's
do that so that you and I can kick back and chill a little bit. But as you know, we ask our guests to send us either questions that they have so that we can give a tip of the week, or we ask them to send in their tip of the week, and we pick questions. And we're starting to run low on questions, so people, join our forums, send your questions out there. And or send them to ghostanddemon@gmail.com. But this week's question is from our friend Gene Lafferty again.
Gene Lafferty.
And it says, every group should have two-way radios. It is not only a help in investigations to know where people are located, but it is also good for safety. He suggests that they go the extra step and purchase two-way radios that have the NOAA weather alerts. These radios can alert you to severe weather in your location. The cost is a little more, between $40 and $50, but that comes for a pair, and it includes rechargeable batteries. And if you can't afford one for everybody in your group, get people the regular two-way radios, but make sure somebody has those ones with the weather reports, so that you know, you can keep an eye on that. Not only is it good for safety, because just before the show came on, Sean, we almost didn't go live tonight because everything was getting struck by lightning over here.
Oh yeah, everybody got hit.
Oh, it was just lightning all around. So,
well, you know, getting back to talking about those the walkie talkies,
right?
Now, I know every ghost group I've ever been out with, they don't use those to communicate. Someone usually passes wind into the walkie-talkie, man, and that's all you hear on the other end. I've had that happen to me a couple times.
That's never happened to me, Sean, so I'm assuming, since it happens to groups that you're out with, that you're the one doing it.
Right. See? Well, it could happen every once in a while. I don't know, guys. Don't pass wind in the cemetery into your walkie-talkies. That's my tip of the week. That's very bad. You could be trying to, if somebody tries to talk into it afterwards, it's bad.
Well, I remember on that one paranormal show where, well, we're allowed to say the show, on Ghost Hunters, where the walkie-talkies, every time somebody talked to one, it turned the TVs on and off.
Really?
Yep, because they were on the same bandwidth as the walkie-talkies, so it was turning the TVs on and off. So they spent investigating time trying to figure out what was turning the TV on and off, but right. It is a safety factor, and I got to say, I've been on investigations where I've wandered away when I shouldn't, you know, because you're not supposed to go off alone, and farted, a walkie-talkie would have made things a little safer.
Yeah, when you fell in that hole out of Barlow's, was it Spangler's Spring out of Gettysburg?
Fortunately, you were close enough to have helped. You didn't
help. I would have still made you use your walkie-talkie, though. Nathan, what happened? Over?
I'm ghost hunting with a jerk. That's what.
I know it. Don't ghost hunt with a guy like Sean B, guys, because it's bad for your health. It's bad for everything. But anyway, we got to take this opportunity to Demon Hunter. Very, very good friends of our show. Very, very close to our heart. Ghostly Talk Radio celebrated their 7 years anniversary this past Friday night.
Now, that is really incredible, Sean, because I can't imagine spending 7 years with you.
I know. It 2 years have been rough, but they did 7 beautiful, wonderful broadcasting magic
for 7 years. Did they pay you while you were out there, dude?
Yeah, they did. They did. But it was good times, man. We was over at Doug's house in beautiful Michigan. And Bonnie Joe was there, and Scott L., and he had the crew from MPAI, I believe it, yes, MPI, Michigan Paranormal, and they were out there. Great guys, man, and we just...
I actually listened to your interview at the party, Sean, and I was sitting there listening, going, when's he going to mention the show? When's he going to mention the show? Come on, it's Ghostly Talk, mention the show! And you fortunately mentioned the show, so...
Yeah, I did. I give him a big hats off. Like I said, man, I just got off the road from driving down here. It's of course the Ghostman Studios is here in Indianapolis, and it's about 5.5, 6 hours. I'd say 5.5 hours to drive straight to Michigan from here. So where I need to go,
Unlike the 14 and a half hours I have to drive to get out to the Ghostman Studios.
Right. That's a little bit longer for you out there in the hills. But hey, man, what did we both go do last night we wanted to talk about?
I thought I wasn't supposed to talk about that on the radio.
Oh, you mean the movie.
The movie.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, good friend
of the show, Carmen Reed.
That's right. First of all, I went to 2 movies this week.
All right.
If Gore Girl was still on the air, that would give her a heart attack. And by the way, love out to our friend Gore Girl out at the Gore Girl Variety Hour.
Big love.
We got to talk about having her on one night. But
It'd be nice
to have her back for a night. But I went out to 2 movies. First, I went to Race to Witch Mountain.
Okay.
The new Disney film based on the 1970 films Escape to Witch Mountain and Return to Witch Mountain.
Okay.
Totally different than the original 70s films, but funny and good. And Chrissy and I were 2 of the only 4 people in the movie theater. So it was almost like having a giant screen in your house. So we just kicked back. Yeah. They had the armrests that lift up in the middle. It was very cozy. But then we both went, you and I both went, different theaters, of course, because we're on different sides.
Different states.
But we went to see Haunting in Connecticut. And I don't know about you, Sean, but I think there was a storyline in there that they added that I don't remember. Sean?
Okay. I'm here. We're losing you. In and out.
Yeah,
but I got you on this show.
I saw that. I'm fixing that right now. Something's wrong with the board. Why don't you tell me what you think about that extra storyline they put in there? Don't give it away, but give people some idea of what you thought.
Yeah, well, of course, the movie we're talking about is The Haunting in Connecticut. We went to see it in Michigan last night. I got to see it with Dougie and Bonnie and Scott L. and everybody, and Stacey K. was there, and we went to the movie theater. They had actually reclining chairs in Michigan, man. And Michigan must have more money than Indiana, because every theater I go to, it's like plastic chairs. And you got to stand up straight, you know, sit up straight in them, you know. But in Michigan, you had reclining chairs. So I got in there. I can't give away too much of the movie. Carmen Reed, like I said, is a friend of the show. We do know the story of what happened, guys. And you got to expect some Hollywood magic when you go see this movie. I thought it was pretty cool. And, anything that is based on a true story, I think it's cool, man. I love it. I dig it. I'm into it. But
I did notice, having talked to Carmen and having read the original reports of the case and having talked to John, who had been there, when it all happened, there were things that actually happened that they did in the film, but they did them at the wrong times. The wrong people saw them, you know, and having seen it, that was a disappointment for me. As a ghost film, it was very good. I did not like that extra story they put in there.
Right. Our listeners have to find that out for themselves. We can't ruin that.
But that just seemed unbelievable to me.
Yeah. I give it 1 to 10. I give it a 6.
So because it was a good ghost story, I'd give it a 6 too.
Yeah, I think it was a good scare movie. You know, it's a... We had girls and little girls in front of us, man, and they just screamed all night. So, it was good, man. It was good. But let's jump right into the stories, Nate, if you don't have anything else.
I just wanted to say that, I came home that night, and my neighbor, their house, had every light on in the house. And we jokingly were looking at it saying, they must have gone and seen the movie, too. And sure enough, they had, and that's why every light in the house was on.
That was awesome, man. I love movies like that, and I always promote movies based on true live events, because maybe Hollywood does put its magic on it, but at least it promotes the paranormal, you know?
Yes, it does.
So I wanted to read the story tonight, because a big thing, Demon Hunter, you know I love my history, man, my Wild West and Gettysburg, my Civil War history, stuff like that, and this is right out of the newspaper here. Historic home has an infamous ghost, Jesse James, rides again. So we all know the story, guys, of Jesse James, but this is just starting to happen. It says the ghost of America's most famous outlaw, notorious train robber Jesse James, is haunting the farm where he grew up, said terrified witnesses. Eerie noises, bizarre lights, and strange apparitions are startling guests and staffers at the James Farm and Museum northeast of Kearney, Missouri. That's K-E-A-R-N-E-Y, Kearney, Missouri. This is the place where Jesse Woodson James was born on September 5th, 1847, to Reverend Robert James and his wife Zerelda. And, of course, Zerelda lost her arm in a Pinkerton detective attack out there at the farm, and Jesse James' brother was fatally wounded in the bout out there with the Pinkerton Detective Agency. But since then, it says that after Jesse was assassinated in 1882, he was first buried on the farm before being exhumed and laid to rest at the nearby Mount Olive Cemetery. And Jesse's older brother, Frank, the gang leader and Civil War veteran, died in the grounds in 1915. Stephanie Gaddis, a historical interpreter at the James home, has said she's seen both Jesse James and his brother many times walking the farm and the house, as well as Zerelda, their mother, and the baby brother. So they've both seen all these out there, or the lady's seen all these ghosts out there, demon hunting. And this is new. This is not something that's happened. Jesse James Museum in Kearney, Missouri has been there for a long time. It's never had reports of a haunting until just last month.
Now, do you think that it never had reports because there hadn't been a haunting? Do you think, or that it has become more acceptable to say there is a haunting, so they're willing to come out with that information now?
You know, the more investigations we do, you and I, and stuff that we do with the community and everything, the more I'm starting to think I see more haunted people than haunted places. I think there's a connection to certain people and hauntings that's happening everywhere. And I think maybe the curator at the museum just happened to be the right spark plug to get everything ignited.
Well, you and I know that the stories of Amityville Horror, the haunting in Connecticut, even whispers, when certain people are there, more happens.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It may just be the location and the person come together, kind of like mixing bleach and ammonia together.
Right.
Don't
right.
do that, by the way, folks. It's bad. It's bad.
Well, Becky Ray, actually, she's in the chat room. She's saying it's not true that it was reported to her many, many years ago. But in the article, Becky, it is saying that this is the first thing they've heard of it, at least out that way. So I don't print them, guys. I just read them.
And he can barely do that. So
yeah, I can barely do that. So go easy on me. But there's another big one out of Canada. Demon hunter, herd of mammoths, woolly mammoths spotted near North Pole. Can you believe this? Sax Harbor,
where did
Canada,
you get this story?
A herd of woolly mammoths have been spotted alive and thriving thousands of years after the huge mammals were supposed to have been extinct. The sighting occurred on the Banks Island in Canada's Northwest Territories, several hundred miles from the North Pole. The herd was identified by wildlife experts after Bush pilot Normal Caldwell eyed them while making a routine flight. This is the most important scientific discovery in history, says biologist Stephen Brewer. To find an extinct species alive is totally unprecedented. So they're working on getting one captured, but they do remember that the woolly mammoth, a distant cousin of the elephant, disappeared from North America and Europe approximately 10,000 years ago, and a well-preserved body of one of the huge creatures was first discovered last year buried in frozen soil in Siberia, and now they think that they might have a herd of them on the loose in Canada.
Now, what I want to know is, how is it unprecedented when they discovered the coelacanth, and it was considered an extinct species, and they found them alive? So it is precedented.
Right, right.
So they're lying. It's a lie.
There's another story you could question me.
No,
but,
it's...
You know, last thing tonight, guys, I just wanted to give a shout out to the oldest person in the world, or at least she claims to be the oldest person, and of course that's from Uzbekistan. It's Tuti Yusupovas. She has a birth certificate that states she was born in 1880, which makes her 128 years old, and that's 6 years older than the previous oldest documented person, the French woman Jeanne Calment, who died in 1997 at the age of 122. So she's claiming to be 128 right now. Nobody's accepting it. They want that. They want the her documentation be authenticated. They want to make sure before they put her in any books. Currently, the record holder is 114 years old, Gertrude Baines of California, who was born to a former slave in 1894. But this cat here, she is 100. She claims to be 128 years old, man, born in 1880. So, you know, Tootie, way to go, Tootie.
I just don't believe it, Sean. And it's not that I think that, you know, she's a liar, but I just know when my father was born, they didn't issue the birth certificate for my father till 2 years after he was born, because he was born in 1922, and they didn't give him the birth certificate till 1924, and it said 1924 on it. You know, when my brother-in-law was born, he was born on an Indian reservation. They gave his family the birth certificate blank for them to fill out. So, you know, these were things that were done back in, you know, the 20s and 30s. And, you know, I come from an older family. So I can't believe that the documentation is that correct. I just can't.
Well, you know, they say she's got this documentation, but they're going to find out, because I think Guinness is going down there and they're going to check that out and see what's happening. So
good. Good. They need to do that. We need more of that.
I say, listen, man, if you make it past 90 anymore, or you make it past 70, hallelujah. Praise God. I think everybody should be in a book, because it's hard enough to make it past 30 anymore, man. Woo!
Hey, again, let's send our love out to Ghostly Talk. I was just chatting with Ghostly Talk's Doug. He's in our chat room. And I was saying, I am so upset that I did not get to make it to the party. Not fair.
Sean got
to the party. I didn't.
I did. A few and in between my special appearances, but I did get to make one this week. So
I just wish you and I could get a schedule this year so we could. We've been invited to a few places this year. We're not getting out anywhere because our schedules are so messed up.
Right, right.
So, you know, for those of you who have not joined the Ghostman and Demon Hunter forums yet, I got to tell you, there might not be a lot of conversation going on in the forums. But you could change that. And not to mention, if you join the forums, you get updates via email of who we're going to have on the show, where we're going to be, so that when you actually know we're going to be someplace, we'll tell you. So join the forums.
Maybe.
Ghostanddemon.com. Go click on, you know, G&D forum and join the forums.
Hey, did you hear this week about chocolate boost your brain? Did you hear about this? It's an Oxford University study that 2,031 people between the ages of 70 and 74, they've been eating much, what am I talking about? They've been eating a lot of chocolate, drinking wine, and sipping tea, and it says they are all ways in which you can improve your memory. Guys, and this is out of Fate magazine. Of course, you know, Fate does not lie. It said it was discovered that wine has the most pronounced effect in boosting people's brain power, followed by chocolate and tea. And those who regularly consume all three in modest amounts were found to perform best when asked to carry out a series of brain tests. And I started getting into that because I thought it said perform best sexual, you know, perform better. And it wasn't. It was brain power. So, you know. But I will tell you, wine does help that too. Or beer, or any kind of alcohol.
It's not that it helps, it just lowers expectations, so Sean has a better chance. So
it numbs the body. Woo! This is Sunday. Anyway.
I think we're getting numb enough as it is on the show tonight. So,
I think so.
But we would never drink while broadcasting. That would be wrong.
I know. I'm shell-shocked. Like I said, I just got off the road, and I'm coming up with these stories, and everybody's questioning my authority tonight. I feel so good.
Oh, Sean. Well, you know, let's send some love out, too, to our buddy Jason Gowan and Tim Yancey. Jason Gowan is sick tonight, so he won't be joining us. Poor Jason. He's just so cute to begin with, but just think of him sick. Oh,
it's like a puppet.
He is. Tim lost his mom. We sent our love out to him, but I know the funeral was this week. So, Tim, best to you. Hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, we're with you, brother.
Tim Yancey and Jason Gowan of Encounters Radio, folks.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good stuff, man. This whole weekend has been good, good mojo. I mean, everything's going down. The stories are rolling off. Did you hear I opened tonight's show up, Demon Hunter?
With?
It was from The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And I got to tell you, the older I get, and it's always been my favorite, but the older I get, guys, it's got a special place in my heart. I love The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It is the oldest ghost tale. I think is that the oldest ghost tale, or is it?
I think it's the oldest written ghost tale in America.
Or what about The Bell Witch? Was The Bell Witch one of the oldest?
Well, The Bell Witch was a true story.
Right. And The Headless Horseman was based on, I wasn't going to say true, but it was a Dutch.
It was a Scottish story.
Okay.
But that was kind of changed to an American story. But, and I can never pronounce it because it's like a Scottish name. So yeah. I can never pronounce it, but...
It's got everything. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow's got everything. I just was watching that, guys, last week. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp, the remake. And the greatest movie ever made. I love it as a scary movie. I think it was terrific. It just had everything. And the story, the original story by Washington Irving, it was just amazing. I mean, that he could write like that back in the old days. And, you know, it's Hollywood today has nothing on these old timers, man.
No.
Edgar Allan Poe's and the Washington Irving and stuff like that. They don't have nothing on them, man.
Oh, you know what I meant to tell you, Sean? And this is not the night to correct Sean. Really, it's not. That's not my point. But we did it. I was listening to a show that we did a few months ago when we were talking about when I went down to the Edgar Allan Poe birthday party.
Okay, yeah.
And we were giving out the places where Poe had lived and things like that. And you had mentioned his being, excuse me, I've got the hiccups.
Goodness.
You had mentioned his being born in, I think you said, Baltimore. And he was born in Boston. I've been meaning to bring that up, and it just kept getting over my head. But I didn't want the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show to be a place where you got wrong information. Boston, folks. Poe was born in Boston. But, you know,
I got the story actually right here. Boston, New York City, and Charleston, South Carolina all have ties to Poe. I'll have to look that up where it said that, Demon Hunter. It must have been a misprint, or maybe I...
I remember reading it. I think it was a misprint. But, you know, I just wanted to get that out there, that Poe was born in Boston. He had family who lived in Baltimore. He was adopted in Richmond. Then he went up to live in Pennsylvania before living in Bronx, New York. I believe it was Bronx. And then returning to Richmond. And
he was all over the place, man.
Oh, he was all over the place. So there's that information. Got that out there, corrected, blah, 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 blah. Before we go to break, Sean, I just wanted to tell you one other thing that I did this week.
What'd you do?
I went to the store, and you know how they have all the Easter candy out now.
Right.
And everybody knows I am a candy fanatic. I buy candy by the bagfuls and eat it everywhere I go. But I am also a big fan of the kosher snacks that come out this time of year for Passover. And I bought a bottle. Now, I know Doug is a Pepsi fan, but we have we have the cola wars between the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show and the Ghostly Talk show. Uh-huh. I like Coke. And every year at this time, they come out with kosher Coca-Cola.
Oh, you like the Coke, the drink. The drink. You better clarify that, Demon Hunter.
Well, it was Pepsi versus Coke. It's
There you go.
But they come out with kosher Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I did not realize it was a kosher Coca-Cola.
Kosher Coca-Cola.
Kosher Coca-Cola. But apparently they do have it. And the difference is the kosher Coca-Cola is made with the original cane sugar. So, if you are a Coca-Cola fan, go out and get yourself a bottle of kosher Coca-Cola for Passover and taste what it really tasted like back when they first made it.
Yeah, now I met some cats from Canada this week, and he was telling me how Coke over there doesn't have fructose in it. It's just pure sugar.
That's the same thing, yes.
Okay, and they said it's amazing, the difference.
Oh, so. It's incredible, and... So if you're a Coca-Cola fan, we can't say one is better than another here, but Coke is better. But go out and get yourself some kosher Coca-Cola. It's the only time of the year you're going to find it here in this country. Unless I think there's a few Mexican shops that sell it too for Cinco de Mayo. But right. Get out, buy some, and it's great. So just wanted to say that. But so, Sean,
well,
I think that said, I think we got to take a quick break.
Okay, let's do it.
We'll be right back with our guest this evening, who is...
Stay tuned, guys. Marla Brooks up next. It's going to be crazy.
This is Doug.
And this is Scott L. from Ghostly Talk.
Reminding you to tune in to Ghostly Talk on Sundays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Heck yeah, Doug. Visit Ghostly Talk at www.ghostlytalk.com. One of the world's premier paranormal talk shows.
Totally, Scott. Download hundreds of free show archives. Read the world's latest paranormal news. And be sure to visit our forums.
Pimping the grassroots paranormal community since 2002.
Dead air never sounded so good on Ghostly Talk.
The vault is open. You're listening to the Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com/news.
Good evening, I'm Chris Balzano, and you're listening to The Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly journey on the paranormal newswire to bring you the biggest stories affecting the ghost community. And the results are in. A picture of an unknown figure lounging from a balcony high in Taunton Castle in North Berwick, Scotland, has won a contest started by psychologist Robert Richard Wiseman that we reported only a few weeks ago. Richard Atchison, the man who took the picture in May of 2008, said he noticed nothing until he looked at it when he got home. It seems most of the photos were a disappointment in the contest to researchers, but there were a few diamonds in the sand that might help to offer proof of the existence of ghosts. This and others will be shown and discussed at the Edinburgh International Science Festival later this year. A less compelling image was captured at 22 Norwood Street in Toowoomba, Australia, by the popular search feature Google Street View. Google Street offers snapshots of places when the addresses are typed in, but according to the Toowoomba Chronicle, this one captured a ghostly figure leaning against a pillar on the front steps. The image is hardly conclusive, but the owners say there's actually ghosts reported inside the house on that side. You can judge both pictures for yourself at www.ghostvillage.com/news. A new road looks to cut straight through a local legend. The Nebraska City News Press is reporting plans are underway to construct a roadway to connect the Omaha Public Power District to the rest of the area. But the path weaves through an area known as the Haunted Hills of the Seven Sisters. The legend tells of a man who hung his seven sisters on each of the seven hills there. And now people report stalled cars, unexplained screaming, and odd lights along the dirt road, where now only four of the hills can be seen. There are other issues with the location. Construction will not start until the logistics and the potential community response can be dealt with. And lastly, leave it to Massachusetts. It may be the first modern reference to ghosts in a town record, but Middleborough, Massachusetts, will reference an investigation by the Enfield Paranormal Society in their report due later this year. The team went in, as reported by Ghost Village, more than a year ago, but the amazing thing is that the town will actually acknowledge their findings in the report. According to the Enterprise News, the report will state, quote, "Spirits exist within the walls." There is some anger and debate over keeping the lines in the report, and authorities want to be sure people understand it is only a rough draft at this time. Well, that's the news for this week. Stay tuned next week when we'll bring you more of the ghostly happenings all across the world. Until then, you can check out these stories and more at Ghost Village's website, www.ghostvillage.com/news. Thank you for listening. I'm Chris Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy. Sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
Hey, this is Balthazar Shantison, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Welcome to New Orleans and the vampire community.
The vampire community. That was a good show.
That was a great show. To have a blood-drinking vampire broadcasting on the air. It's a good thing it's not like pictures and mirrors. We could actually see hear them on the radio.
They're out there, folks. They're creeping around in the darkness with the fangs and everything. And apparently they listen to the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show. Hey, tonight's guest, Demon Hunter.
Yes, because our buddy Jason Gowan is sick tonight. We are going straight to our guest this evening, Marla Brooks. Marla, welcome to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Thanks for having me.
So,
what have you been up to, Marla? What's going on, man?
Oh, what isn't going on? Spinning my wheels. Really busy, so that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Now, I was looking at some of your stuff tonight. Now, you're a happening chick. You got everything going on. You got skillets in the fire everywhere. You are the host of Stirring the Cauldron radio show on that other, it was Para-X radio, right?
They host us too, Sean.
And also on CBS Psychic Radio too. So I'm stirring twice a week now on two different networks.
Very cool. Very cool. And you are the author of a series of books called Ghost of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Well, that rocks, man. That rocks. What's it like to write a series of books?
It's crazy when they're back to back to back to back, but, you know, you just kind of get into that mindset, but it's also fun going out on all those investigations and finding all the Hollywood haunts that people haven't written about before. So that's very cool.
Now, do you find that now that you're doing the radio show, you get out to locations less?
Yes. Yeah, because you know how it is to plan a radio show, and then twice a week is even double your pleasure. Yeah.
We actually cut back to an hour because for a little while we'll be going back to two, but we cut back to an hour because we couldn't get anything else done.
I know, it's crazy, and I've got 1 hour on Para-X and 2 hours on Psychic Radio, so... Yeah, I'm kind of growing into my chair here in front of the computer. This isn't a good thing.
Now, how did you start out with Stirring the Cauldron? Now, when you say cauldron, most people think of the Wicked Witch, you know, ha ha ha, and frog legs and kitty toes or whatever, and you're stirring the cauldron, but you are, in fact, a pagan witch, correct?
Well, all witches are pagans. Pagan is just kind of an umbrella term for people that don't practice an organized religion, basically. But yeah, I'm Wiccan, and actually I was doing someone else's show one day, and it was over at that other network that you don't want to talk about, Para-X.
I like Para-X. I love them.
We're actually on Para-X too, so.
I know you are. I know. And somebody just said, you know, you really need to do a show, and I went, no, I mean, you know, what am I going to do a show? Another one about paranormal investigations. I don't want to do a cookie-cutter show. And the host said, yeah, but you know what? You're a witch. And they don't have a witch there, and that might be good for you to do. And I went, So I thought, yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of misunderstandings about witches and, you know, that we're all devil's disciples. We do his bidding, and we eat little children, and we're all, you know, warty and green. And I don't do any of the above.
You're not warty?
I'm not warty. No,
I've got to cross another one off my list.
A good
here.
Thing.
I got to cross
That's
another
right.
one
We've
off.
Seen
my
your
list.
Picture? No black hats or nothing. Man, I tell you.
Oh, I've got a couple black-hatted pictures, but you just didn't see that one.
Not with you in the cat suit, Marlena. Not with you in the cat suit.
You never know. You know, come Halloween, we can kind of shapeshift in anything we want, right?
That's what the legend tells.
Uh huh. He's a bit bewitched. I was talking though. I'm very interested. First off, in the Wiccan community, the pagan. Am I saying that right? The pagan community.
Yeah, pagan is a good blanket term. Yeah, because I think you know, not all pagans are witches, but all witches are pagans.
See, you just cleared something up for me just there because I did not know. I thought there was white magic, black magic type witches, and that the pagans were the white type, earth, natural, and that the, you know, black magic witches were something totally different.
No, I think lots of people are trying to get away from the label between Wiccan and this and that, although some are, you know, because Wiccan is a religion, but I kind of think being a witch is more of a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, labels, I just don't like labels. You know, I hate people looking at me and going, ah, witch. You know, no, I'm human. I'm person first, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, and there are evil witches, but for the most part, we're not. And Wicca is an earth-based religion, so, you know, we kind of respect nature and things like that, and we believe in the threefold law. You know, you put something out bad, you get it bad back three times. And
yeah. Sean, you must have put some real bad stuff out there. That's all I have to say.
I had to do something wrong, man, I tell you.
It's not hard to do, you know, because I don't know if you guys know this, but, you know, when you talk about spellcasting and everything, every one of us, pagan or not, cast spells every day because a spell is basically an intention. And so when you're standing there in a line and you're just wishing the line would move really, you know, with all your might, you just cast a spell.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, so for people to kind of, and that's why I got the show, to kind of humanize witches, if that's what, you know, a good
way
to put it.
So when I'm standing in a line and the girl in front of me has some real nice gams, and
yep.
I'm really
that's
staring
also
at them.
A spell. Yeah.
Now I got to tell
you
guys,
if you don't cast it right, you might get kicked hard. You know?
I've been casting it wrong for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I have got to tell you guys this story. It's the first time, late breaking news, here on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show or anywhere that I've told this story. But when I was in middle school, there was a girl there in class that a lot of people, she was kind of gothic, you know, and a lot of the guys said she was into spells and magic, and she would read, you know, books on demons and stuff. So very dark kind of thing. And you kind of spooked, you know. I didn't really mess with her, but some of the other guys were kind of spooked in the class. And I remember I sat right in front of this girl. And I remember she had said something to me, can I borrow a pencil or something? And I just turned around and said, you know, I don't have one. I'm sorry. And I know she got mad. And she said, well, you're not giving me one just because the other guys or make it or don't have a problem with me or something. You know, granted, this is sixth or seventh grade. And she touched the back of my head when I turned around, and I felt like I got zapped. And that's the only way I can think of it, but I got zapped in the head. It's like, you know, touching the doorknob. And I want you to tell me about this. I touched the doorknob, you get zapped, but I felt it in my head, and my nose started gushing blood. I mean, it was just pouring blood. Never had such a bad nosebleed. And I went to the you know, restroom. I was excused from class, and it got better, and I came back, and everything was fine. But I always wondered if, you know, is that possible that she could have done something to me like that?
Well, it is possible, but possibly also because you had that knowledge of her, you could have done it to yourself just out of fear because, you know, the mind plays good jokes on us sometimes.
Right.
And because you felt guilty for not giving her the pencil and she got all ticked off and everything, your guilt could have kicked in. And when she touched you, you could have zapped yourself.
See, and I didn't have a pencil. I swear to God, I gave her one if I had it. But you don't tell a witch. You don't tell a witch you don't got something, right? If she says she needs it, you better find it. That's all I got to say. So, but, you know, the spell casting and all that, I'm so interested in that. And I ask almost all the guests that come on. We've had Satanist to come on, a warlock a couple weeks ago, and I asked him about spellcasting. I'm going to ask you, do you believe in the power of spells and magic?
Yes, magic happens. Uh-huh. But, you know, again, not in a bad way. And it's just putting things out to the universe. You don't have to be a witch to believe in that. But it does kind of have a ripple effect, and I've seen results of some of the spells that I've cast, and some of the people, I've got a book out right now called Workplace Spells, Everyday Magic on the Job, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from people who have actually tried the spells in the book and say they work. Surprise, surprise.
Right.
So, yeah, it's possible to do that, but it's just, it's intention. It's I don't want to compare it to prayer, but, you know, people say prayers work.
Right.
And
right.
It's
now,
kind of the same thing. It's the same theory.
Here's a question I have for you, Marla. When you're putting something out there in the universe, even if you're doing it with the best intentions, the universe tends to have a plan for things.
Yep.
When you ask it to change that plan and do things askew to whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
what, you know, what can you do to make sure that you're not damaging something in that plan?
Well, you don't ask for something that is so grandiose that it's going to topple the universe into somersaults or something. You know, you don't ask for anything selfish. You usually ask for the greater good. But even when you do that, when you cast a spell or you create a spell, even for something very, very simple and very, very positive, you just have to look at all the aspects, because it's not going to just affect the person or the thing that you're asking for. It is going to affect those that surround you too. So even with the best intentions, there's a lot of pitfalls there. So it's very kind of difficult to do.
And when you ask these things, if you're putting that power out into it and you say it's a lot like prayer, does it mm-hmm. differ from prayer?
You know, I think it falls all under the same umbrella: prayer, intention, hopes, desires, things like that. I think it's all just what you call it, in a sense.
Now, because one of the big
go ahead.
One of the big things in prayer is, when it's, at least in the Christian community, a lot of people don't do it, but one of the main things to put out there is, if it's God's will.
Right.
Where in the pagan community, having worked with a lot of witches, they don't tend to put that out there. If it's part of the, if they said, if it's part of your plan, can this happen? They ask for it.
Right.
So, I mean, unlike prayer, it's actually trying to divert the nature of things.
Well, we leave it to God or the goddess, depending on who you, you know, believe in. Nothing happens 100%, and if something is not meant to happen, it's not going to happen. I don't care how good you are at casting a spell or whatever. I mean, there are certain things that cannot be changed or altered. So, and nobody has, you know, like psychics, nobody, no psychic has 100% rate of accuracy, and no pagan, no witch has 100% accuracy in the spells they cast, because some things just aren't meant to be. And as you know, the universe has a sense of humor, and you say, send something out there stupid, you're going to find out real quick that it was stupid and it's not going to happen. Or, yeah. You know, that it was impossible to happen, whatever.
Now,
yeah.
Did your work in the pagan community lead you to writing these books, Hauntings, excuse me, The Hollywood Hauntings or Hauntings in Hollywood? I don't have the sheet in front of me now. I feel like it's
Hollywood. Ghosts of Hollywood. No, actually, it didn't. I mean, I've always been interested in the paranormal. I kind of grew up with that, you know, ghosts and things of that sort were just very common. So that wasn't any big deal. And it was kind of the ghosty thing that took over first, although my great-grandmother claimed, well, the whole family said that she was a witch. So maybe it's in the bloodline. But I think it's kind of a combination of both. I mean, the interest in the paranormal is what led me to the books, and the fact that I live in Hollywood, that always helps. And I think the two go hand in hand. I don't think there is a separation between the two necessarily, because it's all a spirituality in a sense.
Okay. I was typing something here. The sign of a bad host.
Absolutely.
I was taking I was taking notes while the guest was speaking. That's really bad. It's
hey, you're talking to another host. You're forgiven.
Now, I've gone out and done a lot of ghost hunting. I've gone out and worked with a lot of different pagans, a lot of different witches. When I first got involved in this, the people who I was working with, you would have called them psychic investigators instead of ghost hunters or paranormal investigators. What pagan or witch or psychic methods do you use in your ghost hunting?
We use all kinds of different methods. I mean, we have a very small team. It's basically me, Victoria Gross, who is a psychic and a witch at the same time, and Barry Conrad, who is a psychic investigator, paranormal investigator. He was the one that documented that horrible San Pedro haunting back in the 80s. It was a scary thing. So we use, you know, for protection, it's kind of pagan. You know, I mean, I wear a pentacle all the time, and Victoria does, you know, a few prayers, witchy prayers. But basically, we go at it just as any other ghost hunting investigation team does, more on the psychic level. But there are times when, like, she'll call in a deity, or she'll do a banishing pentagram ritual if there's some negative spirits around or something. But other than that, you know, we're just pretty much like any other ghost hunting team, except that we do have, she is also a medium, and I know lots of teams just go purely scientific now. But we do the scientific, and we have the medium, and then we have the witchy thing. So it's a pretty well-rounded team, actually.
Now, when you
Marla, now that brings up some good questions, girl, because I've had the pleasure of working with Wiccans in the field. And I don't think I've ever had the honor of working with a witch, you know, when I was out there. At least no one had told me. But is there techniques that you can learn and stuff like that that might help communicate with EVP or something like that, might accelerate it more? Is there is there techniques that you know as a witch that could help commune with the dead a little more?
If I knew that, I mean, I swear to you, I have never once had an EVP. Not once. Everybody else
really?
Does. I don't. I am the EVP dunce. And any spell work that I've been trying for that isn't working yet. So no, I'm sorry, I got an F in that class.
Well, you know, John Zaffis once told me that once you get one, they'll all start pouring in. So you just have to get that one. So
yeah, well, I'm sitting here waiting with my lower lip, you know, all pouty and everything, because everybody else has gotten one but me. So
you think witch has got all the answers. You see what I'm saying?
Now,
every witch I've ever dated has all the answers. I tell you that much.
Yeah, well, you just got lucky.
Isn't that terrible?
I wanted to ask you. He was saying about going out and enhancing, you know, the paranormal. Obviously, you can't get involved with magic without running across some of the bad stuff that's involved with it. Eventually you're gonna meet somebody or discover something that has some bad aspects to it. Have you ever been tempted to use something that you probably shouldn't have to help enhance anything besides just paranormal investigating?
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, because the paranormal investigating, you know, you guys know, you've been out there. You have respect for those on the other side, and you just don't mess with it. You know, there are too many negative entities or really disgruntled astrals out there that can just give you a hard time.
Well, think about who you're talking to here. We don't have respect for ourselves, so it's...
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, that was lesson number one.
Right.
Lesson number two, now, I mean, you know, karma is... I mean, we really believe in karma, and it just doesn't pay to mess with things that you shouldn't be messing with. And tempted, of course. The only time that I would ever be tempted to cross that line from, and I'm using this as just a point of reference quote, white witchcraft, is if someone I loved or care about was in danger. Then you do that, you know, family members, loved ones, friends. Otherwise, there are lots of other ways around it. You know, you can get your point across without having to be evil and mean and resort to the real ugly stuff.
Now, how many voodoo dolls do you have in your freezer right now? That's what I want.
Not a one. Not a one. I mean,
after tonight, we'll have two.
Yeah, I'll just put your names in an ice tray and just freeze you for a while.
Oh, that'd be great. I mean, put me on ice, Marla. Put me on ice. I'll stay cool, baby. But, you know, it's so interesting. If somebody wanted to get involved, and somebody just came off and they said, man, I want to start learning about these spells. I'm having bad stuff happen at work. I'm just, you know, I want to be able to send out something good to the universe. Where do they turn to? I mean, you don't go to the library and look up how to become a witch or not. You know, how do you get involved?
Well, in a way you do. I mean, there are lots of covens around that people can join. I don't belong to a coven. I'm a solitary witch, what they call a hedge witch. You know, I'm not big on big groups, because I don't care what group you're in, whether it be a paranormal group or a coven, there's always going to be politicking and backstabbing, and not always, but 90% of the time. So I prefer to practice alone. But you grab any book that you can, you read, you learn. Actually, there is a place on the internet called Witch School that has some wonderful courses, and they're free.
Harry Potter went there.
Where people can go and learn. That's always
that's
a good
the one thing.
Thing.
That's the one thing, Marla. I love to hear they have classes for free. I think this is amazing, man. In the paranormal community, you got people charging for EVP classes, people charging for EMF classes. It's crazy. People have lost their minds. Mm-hmm. You know,
especially when you're broke, as Sean and I are, you can't afford to go to the classes.
Yeah,
tell me about it. But as long as you can afford internet, you can learn. I mean, they've got, I think, 124 different classes that you can take and learn and grow. And you know, whether you're born a psychic, a medium, or a witch, you still need to learn. You know, you still need to learn and grow. You can't just declare yourself as something, even as a paranormal investigator. So you just grab all the information that you can get. You talk to people that you trust who point in the right direction, and a place like Witch School is fantastic to learn. I mean, there's about a dozen classes that I wish I had time to take.
Well,
now I gotta tell you, Marla. Go ahead, Nate.
I was just gonna say, Sean was with me on an event where our buddy Jason Gowan was with us, and they asked me to bring some different tools, and I had a wand that I got from Janet Farah, and you know, I didn't want to bring it, but I had like different things there. And Jason picks up the wand and starts like waving around and goes, "Expelliarmus!" and he said the look on my face alone could have cast a spell of ice.
Oh, it's so funny. I mean, no, you know what? If people can't have a sense of humor about stuff, they better check out, you know? I mean, I do that kind of stuff. When I got my mind, I was throwing it in all directions and you know, having fun with it. But then realizing what a wand actually is, it's not going to shoot sparks at you. It's not going to, you know, open doors. It's not going to kill anybody. But what we use it for is just to focus energy. And usually only beginning witches do that because they need that extra focus. After a while, you can do it on your own. So it's just an implement. It's a tool to focus energy. But sure, do you play around with it? Of course. You know, I mean, we're not all that serious, guys. I mean, we're serious about what we do, but if you can't have a sense of humor as well about who you are, you know, forget it.
I was just serious about that one piece because of where I'd gotten it. But, I mean, when I had studied under Robert Ludwig, he wouldn't even let us point at people.
Really?
Yeah, because he was a firm believer in the reason that pointing was considered rude was because it was such a easy way of transferring energy.
Well, it is, and yeah.
You know, and someone who doesn't know what they're doing, who's having a bad day, could easily point at somebody and transfer that bad energy.
Yeah, you got to watch out for those loaded wands. I mean, boy. But
mine
no,
explodes
and
if you smoke it
too
long.
You know, I'm saying that in a funny way, but sure, you could throw out energy that way, so yeah.
Now, I got to tell you, and everybody's going to make fun of me probably, but there was this book, you know, it's called The Secret. And I'd never mess with anything like, you know, sending out good karma into the universe and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I read some chapters in this thing and somebody had loaned it to me and I gave it back to him. I said, you know, it's a lightened book. It's cool. I like that. So there for a while, I started getting up in the morning. Before my feet hit the ground, I would say, universe, all good things to me, you know? And I kept that in my mind. And I know one of the things in the book, it said, write down what you want to do with yourself. So, you know, make small goals, but write them out in detail. This is what I want. This is what's going to happen. And I got to tell you, four of those six things happened within, you know, 8 months of doing it. So I don't know. I don't know about the whole karma in the universe, but I am definitely a believer in good mojo. And
mine didn't happen. What you were doing is you were doing affirmations, and lots of people do. Non-pagans do.
Mine didn't happen, but Sean said my number one on my list, you know, rule the world, was taking it too far, so...
It was taken at the moment, so yeah, you couldn't do that yet, yeah.
You know, I always go to the mystic bookstores and stuff. There's one down the street here, and I always wanted to just get some... good things for the house here, you know, and you know, like good energy spells you could put down, but nobody ever really tells you. They just kind of look at me like a dope because, you know, I'm not a witch or anything like that. And I'm walking around there and the craziest thing I ever buy is incense, you know? So I never had found anything like that, but you know, is there anything that somebody could look for to like cleanse their house for instance. We just bought a new house, so I'm looking for something. Sage.
Sage. Yeah, sage is great. Walk around room to room with sage. I mean, it'll knock you out. If you have sinus problems, you're going to be in trouble. But it's very strong, but that's supposed to dispel the negative energy. Sage is great for that.
Now, do you recommend the little bundles? I'm sorry, Sean.
No, what were you saying?
Sean was asking about sweet grass. I was wondering, you know, do you recommend the little bundles of sage, or do you prefer the leaves of white sage?
I use the bundles, but I also, I like incense a lot, and there are so many incenses that are really good for that. Sandalwood incense is kind of a general cleansing incense. Jasmine is the same thing. So, you know, you don't have to knock yourself off with sage, but a lot of people use white sage. I mean, that's the first thing people look to when they move into a new house to get all the negative energy out, or, you know, perhaps a disgruntled homeowner who died there or something. White sage is the thing that most people look for.
Well, I've got a really great little story. I got to tell it here to get your opinion on it, Marla. I had just moved up here to Connecticut. So my car was still registered in New Jersey. I had a brand new Toyota Camry, and I'm driving up to see my girlfriend. I pick her up, and we're going out, and we leave. And this was in my grunge days. I had the flannel on and a pair of Doc Martens unlaced. And, you know, we're driving along, and I drive through a red light. And as I look to the right of me, there's a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And lights go on, and he pulls me over.
Yeah, I know what he said to you. Like in Gettysburg.
He asked me to get out of the car. And he sees my boots unlaced, so he makes me take off my boots to make sure I don't have anything in my boots. So they start searching my vehicle. No reason, except I'm a grunge guy in a brand new Camry.
Yeah.
And they start searching the whole car, and they open my trunk, and I hear a cop go, "Hey, hey, hey, got something. And he reaches into my trunk, and he pulls out a bundle of sage. And he looks at me and goes, "What is this?" And I said, "It's sage." And he said, "What is sage?" And I said, "An herb. You put it on food, or in my case, you burn it like incense." And he looked and said, "Well, what, you sure?" And I looked at him and said, "Pretty sure. In fact, you can have that one and test it. And if it's not what I said it is, you know where to find me."
Yeah. So, see, the only difference between our two stories, when the cops pulled me over when I was a teenager, it wasn't sage. I tried to say it was, but I told him it was oregano, officer.
I was just going to say that, I swear to God.
Fortunately, he believed my story, so I didn't get arrested.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marla, obviously, people are listening to us here, getting some idea of like the witchy end of things that they might hear on Stirring the Cauldron. Which they can find out more about that going to ParaX Radio at paraxradio.com, or they can check out your hauntedwriter.com, www.hauntedwriter.com. But there is also the books, and we've steered away from the books, and we should get back to giving people a little bit more idea of what your books are and where they can find them.
Okay, well, it's a Ghosts of Hollywood series. There are three books in the series, and they can be found anywhere where books can be found, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and everything, but they are books of investigations that we did all around Hollywood, some famous places, some infamous places. One of those kind of books that you just kind of get into, and then all of a sudden you want to go there, and you want to go and investigate these places. Book two actually is a book of seances, which is even neater.
Does that get into the Knickerbocker?
The what?
The Knickerbocker in Hollywood, where they held the seances for Houdini?
Houdini, yeah, that's actually in book two, but I got some really great seances from people like Richard Sennett and Kenny Kingston and a few other, Rob Lodarski, and people shared some of their Hollywood seances with me. We did several as well. One particular one at a dive bar was very, very cool because we, I think we contacted an actor who was murdered in the 60s, very ugly kind of murder and kind of embarrassing ugly. And he actually came through and told us who killed him and that she was still alive and where we could find her. That was, you know, talk about a cold case, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's all places we've placed all over Hollywood. The Roosevelt Hotel, which everybody knows is famous for Marilyn Monroe's mirror and all that. We got word that there was a haunted cabana room there, and we went there for the night because this ghost presented himself as a murdered guy. You could only see him from, like, you know, the knees up, but he was covered in blood and everything. And he showed himself to a hotel employee who, when she saw him, ran out the room into the hall, and the surveillance camera picked her up fainting dead away in the hall. So we took Kenny Kingston there and psychic Mark Nelson and a whole group and explored, and it was really kind of creepy cool. So it's just all kinds of Hollywood stories, our investigations, other investigations, stories about what goes on in Hollywood. Some of the places are well known, some aren't, because if you're like me, you kind of get tired about reading about the same places over and over again in ghost books. So we kind of went to places that people wouldn't have thought about and didn't know. We went to the Ricardo Montalban Theater. This was before he passed recently. It probably will be a lot more active now. Mm-hmm. But we got to give him a chance to settle in on the other side before he comes back.
Right.
So it's just very cool. David Wells from Most Haunted did the forwards, introductions in all my books. And there's a couple of investigations that he went on when he was here in the States, so that's also very cool.
Okay.
And, yeah, they're fun books to read, a lot of Hollywood history if people are interested in celebrity and if they're interested in travel. It's kind of a good armchair book for that, too.
So the Ghost of Hollywood books, there's three of them, 1, 2, and 3, and mm-hmm. Workplace Spells.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Stirring the Cauldron. And you can find all this more at www.hauntedwriter.com. Marla, one last question for you before we wrap up for the night. How many people, when they find out you're a witch, say, burner, burner?
Only the Monty Python things, but they want to weigh us first to see if we weigh the same as a duck. The only problems I have is if people see my pentagram, which I try to keep hidden. Then they kind of back up, but it kind of is good if you're standing in line at the grocery store and you want people to get out of your way. So, you know, it has its merits.
You know, it always amazed me when I start researching, like, old Salem, Massachusetts, some of the stuff they did to the witches, like tie blocks to their feet, and if they drowned in the river, they were witches, you know? It was
If they drowned, they weren't witches, Sean.
Oh, yeah, if they drowned, they weren't witches. That's what I meant. It's just amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's the bad rap we've been given for years and years and years, and that's why Stirring the Cauldron is kind of here to shed some new light and, like I said, realize that we're not evildoers and shapeshifters and, you know, that we're human too.
And, of course, right. You know, it's good to know that if somebody ties rocks to your feet and throws you in the water, you won't drown, providing the water's
right.
Not over your head.
Yeah, something like cement shoes, right?
Sleep with the fishes, huh,
Marla, it's been great to have you on. We're going to have to wrap up for the night. Is there anything you want to get out there before we wrap up this evening?
No, I think we got it all out. We got the books. We got the website. We got the show. Hey, you guys are good.
We try. We have a list that we check off. But can you stay on the line while we wrap up?
Sure.
That'd be great because, Sean, you know it's time for us to thank all of our listeners for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Hey, there you go, guys. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on our forums because, hey, we want to hear from you.
And don't forget, if you missed any part of this or any Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, you can check it out at Planet Paranormal, the Podomatic, the Podcast Alley, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean.com, Blueberry, PodcastPickle.com, the ParaX Radio Network, the Podfeed Community, and, of course, the Black Vault Radio Network. And with that, Sean, I think we have to just thank everybody for joining us and ask them to catch us next week when Melissa Martin Ellis, author of the Everything Ghost Hunting book, will be on.
And we'll be talking about everything ghost hunting, probably. So, hey, don't go changing, ghost hunters. We won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, guys. Have a great week.
So say goodnight to the bad guy.